Barcelona.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Almighty Yah is working. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Yah is working.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but He's been working in my life these past couple of weeks. You know, staying in the text and where we are with our Torah portion. Vayechi, and Vayechi. Bereshit, chapter 48. And I just got some things to share that's been happening to me these past couple of weeks, especially when after we left to go to the ministry's retreat. Some things that happened to me is really incredible. And so, there's a statement I'm going to give you, and as we go through Shabbat service, you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes somebody can share with you something, but it's not like when you really sit down in yeshiva with the Father. That thing's still pinging. I can hear it.
Just lower it a little bit.
I've been praying for a couple of weeks. I've been asking the Father through all that we're learning in the text. I've been asking myself, Father, I really don't want to learn love from men's love. I want to learn what your love is. I want to learn, can you please help me express your love through all that we're learning? Can you express your love towards me so that in return I can express your love to your people? I said, because when I read in the renewed writings that we've been taught, you know, agape love, and we've taught unconditional love, but it's just a verse of scripture, and we look at each other and we try and portray what we see or what we hear. But it's not really until you're really yeshiva, sit down and you ask Him and you're going through the text and you're learning everything Yeshua told us to go to. And we're talking about Yaakov in chapter 48. And then we, you know, about two weeks ago, you know, I went through all the study and learned of the northern tribes and the southern tribes, and how they had split. They were married, but then they split, and it all went downhill from there. And I went through different prophets, and I studied and learned the prophets, and it gave me great understanding between Israel and Yah. And then I got to another part where I was like, okay, where do I go now? Which one have I not looked at yet? What's important? What do I need to look at right now, this moment? And I'm flipping through all the prophets. And I come to Hosea. And when I read it at the time, I didn't say Hosea, because I didn't learn, you know, I didn't know that until I looked at the Hebrew name. We look in the English, it's Hosea. But I looked at Hosea. I said, so it's Hosea. And I was really drawn to it. And we had our minister's retreat. Went to our minister's retreat, and was all sitting at the table talking, and you know, I mentioned the pastor, so I'm really drawn to Hosea. But I can't find, you know, like I've been finding the real core of what I'm really looking for. So he gave me a little study guide, and I looked at it. And then I started doing some more digging and research, and I found some videos that was really close to it, and going over that and looking at that, and man, really seeing, and I learned Yah expressing Himself, His love towards Ephraim. And we learn about that. We learn about, what's that word for it? We got our, I would say answered prayer, but we found out who we are through the boys, through the adoption, being adopted in. What is it? Huh? Yeah, that's one. We find our identity. And I am learning, looking at the two, through them and Hosea, that we find our identity in His love. But you really don't know what that love is by a couple of scriptures until you really sit down and you really study and let Him express His love to you. And in the process of all this, Pastor comes in on a Friday night and I'm just excited about it because I went through all week studying and I was sharing with him all that I got through Hosea and Gomer and everything Yah was expressing through this prophet. This prophet was used by Almighty Yah not just to give words but to actually do and to feel what Yah feels. And when I came in on Friday night, Pastor said, "You talking about Hosea?" He says, "I'm going to give it to you tomorrow in a little package with a red bow on it." And when he gave it on Shabbat, I think I wept more than anything back there because it really all came together. But I was still missing something. Something was missing. It was close, but it's just not close enough. What am I missing? And I'm praying, I'm asking him, I say, "Father, can you help me? I'm still looking for that. Where's that love?" And what I was going to tell you earlier before I even started talking is I keep this, it's burned in my spirit. I'm loving you with this. You got to write this down on your paper. You got to burn it in your mind. I'm loving you with this. Because you're going to need this. When I share this with you, what I was shared to, Father gives you stuff sometimes when you're not even looking for it or where it's at, in a Cracker Barrel. Pastor gives me a word. We're sitting at a Cracker Barrel, and he gives me this German word. I'm like, okay. And expressed through the Amish in their gardens, how they take care. And they hone in on it with Almighty Yah. And so I was like, oh, okay. But just like he drew me to go to Hosea, he drew me with this Glossenhorn, this word. And so I started doing my research. And there's several Hebrew words that come close to expressing it. But the Hebrew, because it's Yah, he really expresses it. When you start digging into it, he starts showing you. And I want to show you. There's some Hebrew words and some scriptures that I went through and I was studying through it. And it hit me with everything. I don't care if it's a burden. I don't care what you've been handed. It's like tending and taking care of a garden. When Almighty Yah was in the beginning in Genesis, he took care of the garden with loving care. And even though he's got a huge world that he's over all, and he takes care of all at the same time, still, he takes each individual piece. He takes his time with every little piece. And he does it right and correct. And he's given each and every one of us responsibilities. Husband, wives, you've been handing babies. That's not yours, but it's in your relation. I've been handed business. I've been handed family that left. But at the same time, he's teaching me, I'm loving you with this. Chad, you got to get this. He said, I'm loving you with this. It's not a burden. The burden is I'm loving you. You're going to learn how I love through this. You're going to learn how to love through this. I'm loving you with this. And so now, since I went through this little course of training and I learned it, I'm loving you with this. Everything that I'm doing now, and I sit down with my wife, she was sharing something with me, and it was with somebody about somebody, and she made a statement, and I was reminded in the past how those statements turned out negative, and I kind of rolled my eyes, and she says, "Why are you rolling your eyes?" And I'm like, "I'm loving you with this." I'm like, oh. I was like, "Oh, I was just thinking about what happened, yes, in the past, but this is different now." I'm like, you're right. I'm loving you with this. I'm loving you with this. And so, he's always patiently inviting us to come in yeshiva, sit down with him. And so, if you sit down with him and spend the time with him, you start learning what his loving us is all about and everything that he's handed to us. Because I tell you what, we got a huge responsibility and he's working on it. He's got it all lined up. He really does. Minister to ministries, this is all lined up. Everything's lined up. But he's wanting us to catch on to understanding that everything he's putting in our lap, he's loving us with it. And we got to do how He loves with it. It's not a burden. None of it's a burden. None of it. You learn patience. Sometimes we get frustrated because things ain't answered right now. My prayers ain't answered. They ain't come back yet. This ain't patience. I'm trying to teach you. I'm loving you with this. You're going to have to learn my patience. I'm loving you with this. And so I'm going to get into what I did. You know, Pastor was sharing with me. He says I was going to share this on Shabbat, but I didn't have, rather he had time. I wasn't led by the Father. But I dug into it, and I'm like, man, this is my gem. I needed this because this brought 48, and it brought Hosea together for me. His expression of love towards me and how I'm supposed to express His love and learn what His love's all about. So let's go look into this. And you're going to remember this word. I remember this word and using it over and over. It's Inavah. Inavah. You'll get Inavah and you get Yarah. Yarah. Yarah is the fear of respect of Yah. You're going to respect Him. So whatever He's given you in your lap, whatever it is, whatever responsibility, you respect Him with it. You don't do that with that. You respect Him with that. So whatever it is, when you complain, or if it's a burden, that's disrespectful towards Him. It's got to be respectful. You're thankful. Hey, this is not a load. It's not. Yah's got a big, big load, and He doesn't complain about it. I mean, when it happened to Ephraim, when they rejected Him with everything all the way to the last, and they were getting all of their food from Assyria, the wrong ones, the enemy, it gets to the point to where He says, I love you so much I got enmity in my hand, and I can wipe you out, but I love you so much, Ephraim. I love you so much. And He expresses His love towards Ephraim. And He says, things are going to happen, but still, His love, He holds on. He says, I'm not a man like you. With ropes I throw and I grab you. With ropes of men and I pull you and I try and turn you back to turn. But even the Assyrians come and wipe them out. And the Assyrians, they're wiping them out. Right before they wipe them out, he's constantly using the prophet Hosea. I'm trying to tell you about my love for you. All you got to do is turn around and repent. Just repent. Quit relying on Egypt. Quit relying on Assyria. They're relying on all of them and also on, but they rejected Him completely. And so He had to do what He had to do. But there's incredible things that's in there all the way to the last chapter and the last verse of Hosea. He says, but it's not the end. It's not the end. He says, I'm going to send one head. I'm going to send one head. The Master, I'm going to send one head, and He's going to raise you back. He's going to raise you back. You're going to come up, come back up. It's incredible when you go through all of this. So how to approach any of these responsibilities, work, tasks, talents that Yehovah's blessed us with? It's not by our own option or thoughts, but it's like this. So Pastor shared this with me pertaining to the way the Amish tend to their gardens. And this one German word is called Gelassenheit. Gelassenheit. This Gelassenheit is like a letting go or complete surrender. And I still put underneath there, I'm loving you with this. Because I loved what He put together. He loved what He puts together. Gelassenheit is a German Anabaptist word, not a Hebrew one. But the spiritual posture it describes is very close. And I only went through two Hebrew words. I looked at all of them, but there was two of them in particular I went through. What Gelassenheit means, the Anabaptist and Amish writers define Gelassenheit as self-surrender and yielding. I was thinking about yielding today. Or it was yesterday. I was listening to the message from Shabbat again, listening to the pastor, and I paused and I'm like, I said, Father, He speaks so well. And he remembers, and he paused me, he says, it's not Chad's knowledge, it's not Jesse's knowledge, it's not Scott's knowledge, it's you yielding to me. You have to yield to me. It happens when you yield to me. You have to yield to me. Self-surrender and yielding. So all these responsibilities we've got to have, we're going to have to learn how to yield to Him and respect Him. To self-surrender, yielding to God's will. Whatever He sends, calmness and readiness to suffer for His sake. It is the attitude of not my will. We always use that term, not my will, but let yours be done. But it's much, much more. It becomes much, much more when you take, going back to the beginning, and you see His love towards Israel, and what He did with Yaakov, and with the brother, with the boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, and gave us a chance. And that's the word I was looking for. That was our breakthrough. That was our breakthrough, getting adopted in. Without that, we're not adopted in. We're not in. And so it says, it is the attitude of not my will, but yours be done and lived. In humility, obedience, and quiet trust. The closest Hebrew parallels, there's no single Hebrew word that is glasenheit, but it overlaps with a cluster of Hebrew ideas. A calmness and complete surrender and respect to Almighty Yah. It has no anxiety. It has no fear. Because remember, love casts out all fear. When you grab a hold to the real love of Yah, and you're loving Him in return, there is no fear in it. And then faith really comes into action. Then you start dreaming. Dream all you want, want all you want. Then you really start seeing that. You don't know the details behind it along the way. But it's real fact, as it's not revealed to the senses. It's a real thing. And so I was watching President Trump and listening to them speak. And they had in the audience, they had the young guy that just got shot in the head and he survived and his mother was there. And he was talking about how his mother had great faith. Every time he called up and talked to her, he says, you know, this is a tragic thing that's happened. You know, it doesn't look good for him. He said, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. The whole time, President Trump says, he's going to be fine. He said, despite all the odds, you would think he'd come out this bad way and not even make it. He's going to be fine. And there he is standing up there, and he's clapping his hands and waving everybody. She had great faith. Just like Yeshua talks about the centurion, he had great faith to go and do this and go and do that. So dream all you want and want all you want. Minister to ministries is going to take great heights. And he says, look, 1,000 times you move mountains, but 1,000,000 times Yah has showed such His loving kindness, His chesed, and the things that He's done for us. We've learned so much and seen so much. This should not be hard at all. And it's going to be sad for the ones who don't continue to grasp it, because it's going to pass them right by. But those who love Him and actually do these things is going to see it. And it's going to be incredible. We're just scratching the surface. He's got things already all worked out. We just got to keep working towards it. And so, no anxiety, no fear, not troubled, but humility, knowing He set this up. Now we're supposed to respect Him in this Hebrew word, anavah. Remember, this is not my opinion or doings and my approach. I just found this out, so I'm just starting to put it into practice. I talked about that earlier. I just left myself a little note sometimes, just in case, so I don't forget. You know, sometimes I write myself notes, but He always reminds me. I always want to write it down, but He always reminds me. A lot of times, like I just mentioned, anxiety and sometimes fear. When you get into this spot of anavah, in that respectful yield towards Him, yarah, pastor said it before I even figured it out and learned it. He said, calm down. You got to calm down. Yesterday, after a couple of days of great fishing, I went through the toughest day I've ever been through all season. We went and caught some sheep's head, and I only had 2 people. And you always think 2 people's easy. 2 people's easy. Well, yesterday I got hit with a long day of burning over 45 gallons of fuel and only catch 2 redfish. But good thing they had a great day the first 2 days. It kind of, it helped those 2 days. I mean, it helped that tough day. But how many know the next day the day before is in your mind, and you're thinking about those things, and doubt wants to try and fill your mind and plague you. You got to put that on the side. And again, here I am. And he says, I'm loving you with this. I'm loving you with this. You don't know the great details. So I got a phone call from the charter guide that I've been having a great time fishing with. And we come up with a little plan. And I believe Yah uses people. He uses things. He uses a cracker barrel to tell your word. So just to make a long story short, I took some people out. Even the fox showed up today. All the odds. We got out there. We caught all the sheephead we wanted. We caught all the redfish we wanted. Got done at 12 o'clock. Got in early. And he says, hey, you're going to learn this from me. It's my loving kindness towards you. Yesterday might have been tough. But even though it's tough, you can't panic. You can't be in anxiety. You're going to have tough days. You're going to have doubtful times come, but still, it's his loving kindness. At the same time, you're going to learn to put his character on and be stable and be anxious for nothing in everything that you're doing. It's his loving kindness. So in Proverbs chapter 15, 33, I got two in one in this one. I got Uriah in here and I got Inavah in here. The fear of Yehovah is the discipline of wisdom. And before esteem is humility. So the Yirah, the fear, the respect of Yehovah is the discipline of wisdom. And before esteem is Anavah, humility. So let's look at this word humility. In the Hebrew, in Strong's H6038. There's Anava is humility and meekness. And when you look in the ancient Hebrew, in the letters, it's an ayin and it's a nun. It's an ayin and a nun. And it's keeping a close eye on the livestock and the crops. What does a shepherd do? He keeps a close eye. He keeps a close eye on the livestock and the crops. He carefully, the ancient Hebrew says, carefully. Remember that word, carefully. Carefully. Remember, calm down. Carefully keeps watch over. Yah loves his creation and us, and he takes his time and care and is gentle and patient. He took care and focused about whatever it is he's working on, and so he's got a huge, huge responsibility over all the whole earth, but yet he takes his time with every single animal. You know, I was talking the other day in the Cracker Barrel with Brother Rob and Pastor. They were looking up these different plants and different trees that we had no idea even existed. How he takes his time with each plant, each fish, each tree. And there's so many of them. And he just took his time and care to create these animals and these trees. But yet, how big and how huge and vast it is. But yet, he would sit and take the time with each individual. He took care and focus about whatever he is working on. We as sons need to work like this and whatever responsibilities we have in this respect towards him. And that's what I grasped. You know, he gives me the responsibility of whatever it is. And to respect him with it, he's loving me with this. To learn his character and be patient at the same time, it's going to be incredible whenever it comes into fruition, whatever it is, and as it grows and as it happens. Look what happened with Hurricane Katrina. All those things, his loving kindness that he put in our trust. The pastor said, you know, it could have got to a point to where all the monies was offered to build another church elsewhere. But he said, I didn't say to do that. This is my loving kindness. This is it right here. This is my loving you. And you're going to understand that when you go through it. I know it's tough. I know it's not easy. You might be waiting for it to happen right now. Why is it taking so long? Why is it three years? And don't keep thinking about all the pictures and all the things and digging in the muck and the junk. I got a great thing ahead. I got a great future and a plan for everybody. And it's not just about you. That's the problem. We get stuck and centered on me. It's not about me. It's about the vast majority. It's about everybody. All the way back in Bereshit chapter 48 when he says, Manasseh, Ephraim, Ephraim, Manasseh. And he says, this is the adoption. I care for all the nations. I care for all humankind. I love them all. And I'll express that in Hosea. I'll express that even after he turns my back on me, plays around, plays all the harlot, yet I'm still going to love you. That was the boat story. Bought you back. That was the boat story right there. When you go through that, if you had time to, if you didn't, you need to go back and go over. We should have been going over 48 a lot already. But Hosea, if you haven't read over it, go over it. I went over it and over it and over it. And he says, that's you too. That's you. That was you. And I bought you back with my son. Hosea had to go buy his wife back. She was messing around so much. She was so far in it. She was a slave. She was stuck in it. And he went back and said, yep, this is what I am. I'll go back. I love him so much. I'll go back and I'll buy him back. And that's what he did with us. He bought us back with his son, with Yeshua. Yeshua had to pay a dear price to buy us back. He said, go buy it back with 15 shekels. And Yehovah says, I'm going to buy you back with my son. And that's what he did. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. So we're going to learn when he says, I'm loving you with this. You're going to learn to put his character on in it. That's what he does all the time. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift and move. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't get aggravated and frustrated. He doesn't try and jump. Why is this not happening right now? He already sees it. He's already focused on it. And the peace of Elohim, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. And when you read Hosea, you see the reflection of Yeshua. You see the same thing, the price that was paid, and you see the price that was paid for us. And the same thing with Ephraim. Ephraim is the 10 tribes. We are the part of the 10 tribes. We're the lost tribes of Israel that he buys back. Yehovah carefully watches over his, and he teaches us to do the same over his livestock, and the crops, anavah. So in the ancient Hebrew, I'll go over it again. The pictograph is an eye, an ayin, a picture of an eye, and the nun is a picture of a seed representing continuance. Combined, these mean the eye of continuance. Nomadic agriculturist carefully watches over his livestock and crops by keeping a close eye on them. It was common to construct a shelter consisting of a roof on four posts as a shelter from the glare of the sun with the removal of the... Well, I don't have to read. That was another note. So he watches over carefully. The first time it's mentioned is in 2 Samuel chapter 2, 36. In the word lowliness. Anavah. Lowliness. He mentions it in 2 Samuel chapter 22, 36, and you give me the shield of your deliverance and your lowliness, your anavah, your lowliness makes me great. Your anavah makes me great. Lowliness, gentleness, loving care. He takes care of everything. At the same time, he's wanting to spend time individual at the same time, but you know, how many know that we get addicted to a lot of things that are around us and what we see? And we spend a lot of time and put him on the sidelines. And he wants to spend every moment with it. You know, when we was created in the beginning, we was created to be with him always. In everything that what he was doing and everything he was caring for, he wanted us right there with him. And that got stripped from him through lies and deceit and through trickery. And through sin, one man's sin, death entered the world. And so now he's expressing his love and how to love him and return back to him And the only way to find out His love is we're going to have to spend that time with Him. We're going to have to put things down and spend some time with Him. And you really find what His loving kindness is. It really is incredible. And remember, we've been adopted in. So if we've been adopted in, we no longer keep the form of the prince and power of the air, that father. But now, because He says, you say He's your father, but I tell you, Yeshua said, you're of your father, the devil. So there is another father. You could be of your father, the devil. That's not His character. He said, this is my character, so I'm going to adopt you in. So we get adopted in, we got this hardness and things we have to strip off along the way and learn His loving kindness and strip those things off. We have been adopted into His kind of character now. There's another one, if you look down to the K in this anavah in the ancient Hebrew, it's gentle in a sense of a careful watching. One who is oppressed, in one who is oppressed or depressed. So this word gentleness, gentleness. Keep in mind, adopted sons let go of past identity. When we talk about identity, now we can identify. We're in 48 identifying, it's our identity. Keep in mind, adopted sons let go of past identity. Now, as an adopted son, we take on the father's identity. And what does Yeshua say whenever those who are taking on the identity all that time? He says, welcome in, faithful. But those who didn't, He says, I don't know you. There had to be some kind of intimacy there. There was supposed to be some kind of intimacy. He says, I'm loving you with this. And so I came across the word double-minded again. There's a word in the Renewed Writings that talks about not being double-minded. You're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. So there comes a course when you get adopted in that you had your old man, your old past ways, and now you're colliding with the spirit and the flesh. So now you wrestle. But He says, wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities, you're wrestling against your flesh, but asking and spending time with the Father will teach us how to not be double-minded. And what I'm getting at is this word fret. Fret not. Fret not. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. It says, Aleph, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of unrighteousness. This word fret is Strong's H2734, and that's kara. Kara is to be hot, is to be furious, is to burn, is to become angry. To heat oneself up in vexation, upset and furious and angry over something we have zero control over causes one to be double-minded. You become double-minded when you get fretful and angry and upset about something. Because remember, He says, I'm loving you with this. Now it puts you in a spot because you can't be doing that. You're double-minded. You got stuff in your hands. You got people's response. You're responsible for people with the way you act and the things that you're going to do. And when you do it, you become double-minded. He says, don't be double-minded. Don't fret. Kara. Kara is being upset and furious. We can't have control of any situation and be calm that Yah is in control of at the same time. It's impossible. You're going to be on one side or the other. You can pretend or act like you're carrying it along, but you're really not. You're swapped over. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, not just some. So we're going to learn through this process. They're going to come up. You're going to have to remember, Anava, I'm loving you with this. I'm loving you with this. And it's been working on me, I promise you. It's been in every little different area. And look, we got lots of different kinds of responsibilities. You've been working on one. You're at work. And you come home, you got the husband or wife. And things might come across. I'm loving you with this. I'm trying to teach you my character through this process. At the same time, you're responsible for what that is, whoever that is, whatever responsibility that is, whatever people you're around. Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 3. I tell you what, when I was here on Shabbat and Pastor gave all the message on Hosea, I felt like a deflated balloon. I'm like, you know, like Brother Rob says sometimes, I hope somebody's not going to talk about what I want to talk about. And then all of a sudden, somebody mentions, oh man, what I'm going to... And it does. It hits you like a ton of bricks. I'm like, man, Father, that was everything all in one package. What can I, how can I... He's like, you have no idea. I got so much in there. He says, wait, I'm going to give you this one little word. You don't even know it's coming. Then we'll go to Cracker Barrel. And he gives me this word. And I'm like, oh, man. He said, I want to help you with this. What the pastor said, though, he said, come here, my little boy. Come here, my son. Come sit down for a minute. I'm going to show you something to Cracker Barrel. I'm like, whoa, this word is incredible. And if I sit down with that garden, and you tend it, and you take care of it. You don't want to do anything to scorch it. I'm sure Brother Preston's got some great skills in gardens, what to do and what not to do, and you want to tend to it and care for it. You're not going to get no cucumbers, right? You better take care of it, and you better tend it right. So whatever responsibility you got, if you don't tend it right, it's all your fault if you lose it. So if you ain't got an answer prayer yet, it's still hanging out there, hey, I know you want to get fussful, or hey, it's not happening, hey, it's not what you thought it was going to be. You don't know the details of how it's going to happen. The longer it waits, the more you learn. The more patient you become. Your adopted character becomes like your father's. Remember, we're adopted. Who are you supposed to become like? Your adopted father. That's what our master tells us. It says in Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 3, Aleph, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious of the workers of unrighteousness. For they soon wither like grass and fade like green plants. But trust in Yehovah and do good. Dwell in the earth and feed on steadfastness. Steadfastness is emunah. Feed on faith. That's what the Father does. He feeds on faith. That's what he lives by. That's why he goes on forever and ever and ever, because he lives faith always. His whole demeanor is faith. Faith driven. When you get to one, that's a false finish line if you stop and say, I got it. Oh, I got a pretty house now. That's not it. That's not it. Oh, I got blessed with being in a new church again. All right, it's all good. Don't stop there. Don't stop there, because that's not how the Father is. Dream all you want. Want all you want. And I will build it. But you got to reach out. And you got to grab it. And listen, I'm telling you, this church is minister to ministries. And it's going to go on. And those who want to sit and linger, they're not even going to see it happen. But those who do are going to go on and on and on, and it never ends. That's what faith is. Emunah. Emunah. Sometimes it seems like I'm not getting this. It's not working for me. But you keep praying and asking him to help you. Father, help me see what your love is. I want to know your love. I want to experience your love. I don't want just some sentence of agape or, oh, it's unconditional. That's great. That's just a sentence. Go back and everything you get through all the week leading up to Shabbat, everything, you suck it up, and now you can't wait to get there because you want to learn more and understand what his love is. This is my love. Then you start understanding how love casts out all fear. You start walking and living in it. It won't mess with you anymore. Bad things, tough things come and happen. I'm loving you in this. That's what I've been doing all week with everything. Some things have been good. I mean, some things kind of feels like it's going downhill, it's not working. And saying, all of a sudden, he throws a little nugget in there, and you get a phone call from somebody, and all of a sudden they're talking for an hour with so-and-so that it's really not looking that well. Now things are looking up. It's like, why was you looking up when it wasn't looking up? Why was you looking up when it wasn't looking up? Come on, get my character. You got to get my character. That's why many times you look at ministers and you see that they should have got upset or said something, but they didn't, because they're understanding and living in His love. It's His kind of love. It's not like man's love. Emunah is used as being faithful. We're going to have to feed on this. It says feed on this. So we've got to live faith to faith to faith. Faith to faith. It just keeps going on and on and on. By my moving towards, no matter how long of a wait, how big it may seem, the impossibilities, the naysayers, just love on Him. It's His love towards us. Story after story after story after story we read, and we hear testimonies and testimonies and after testimonies. But we're going to have to keep using those. But you have to search that out for yourself. We can come here and we can listen to the messages, but it's not till you grab it and go search it out for yourself. That's why I've been asking Him for myself. I want to know what your love is like. Help me know what your love is like so I can express your love. And that's what I've been doing all week. And then I said, Father, you know, I struggle sometimes after it's not my turn, because naturally you want to relax a little bit and rely on one of your brothers or your pastor. And that's how I've done a lot. And so I've been praying this week. I said, Father, please, don't let this leave me the next week and the next week. Let it be like it's still my turn. Help me with this, because I need help in this area. My wife was talking to me the other morning. You know, she called me up and was talking. She goes, hey, you know, I keep having Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus come to mind. Who's Ahasuerus? I said, he was the Persian king. He was Queen Esther's king, the king, and Esther was the queen. And so we talked about that for a little bit. And when we got off the phone, I was thinking about Esther. I'm like, wow. I'm like, Esther, she put on all the attire. She put on all the right attire. And so Yah provided her with the help to prepare. That's what it was. I was thinking about, she had Mordecai. Yah gave her some help, a Mordecai. Then he gave her a favor with the lady. I forget what her name was and all about, but she had to tell her how to dress before the king. She was telling her, what was her name? Does anybody remember? Or I forget what her title was. That she had. I think she was a eunuch or something. I can't remember what it was, but they had to tell her how to dress and how to put on the right attire to go before the king, because he had gotten rid of Queen Vashti, because she was a self-living queen. She wanted to do what she wanted. But Esther was having to submit and be clothed in those certain things. And so that was brought to my remembrance. But what was brought to my remembrance is that the king loves a certain way, and she dressed and prepared for the king, not for herself. She didn't prepare for herself. Vashti got to a place where it was all about herself. This is how we will eventually end up inheriting the earth, with steadfastness and faithfulness in Munah. Yeshua's kingdom will stay with the meek and the gentle and the steadfast. The steadfastness of Yah's character will inherit and remain in it. But the fretting and the anxious and the worrying and the double-minded will be uprooted out of it. Be not anxious. So Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6, do not worry. Be not anxious, as in the King James, but it says, do not worry at all. And he's serious in the statement. Do not worry at all. But in every matter, I'm loving you with this. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to Elohim. So this Greek word, G3309, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Mary, them Greek words are something. Merimno. You gotta say it almost fast. Merimno. I don't know. Mary. I don't know. I'm gonna start talking Brother Rob's kind of time so you can remember it. Merimno. I don't know. To be anxious, to worry, or to have care or concern. This is a little bit deeper when you look at the Greek. To have care or concern, derived from merizo, to divide the mind. It literally means to have a divided mind. So when you're anxious about something,
unknown caller,
to be anxious about something and to worry about something is to be pulled in opposite directions. Almighty Yah is not pulled in opposite directions. That comes from a past that we had on us that we got to get rid of. We adopted sons. We're no longer anxious about anything. We're no longer pulled in two opposite directions. Whatever responsibility we are taking care of, we need to have as a mindset of to not be double-minded or unstable. Man's control outside of God's control or authorization is not in of I. It's not the right approach. Being double-minded is not the right approach. Remember, we got a yirah. We're going to get to that word in a little bit. Yirah. Yirah is the English word is fear, but it's to respect. You got to respect him with what he's given into your lap. Whatever you're taking care of, you got to respect him with it. I'm loving you with this. So it's almost like a two-thing, I don't know how to say it, but it's like you're learning his character, and at the same time you see that it's going to happen somewhere down the line, and rather it doesn't, it's in his care. You've let him have control over it. You submit to him. And that that German word, and going into the Hebrew, it's a surrender. You're completely surrendering whatever it is to him. You got to approach him without being double-minded. If you're double-minded, you're not approaching him the right way. He's not like that. So in James, Jacob, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask. You got to ask him, and he'll help you with it. But it's not on your own understanding. You got to listen to him. He's going to show it to you somewhere, somehow down the line, like in a Cracker Barrel. I didn't expect that to come that way. I was missing something. And it was something the pastor didn't share that day. In a Cracker Barrel, he shared Enavah with me. And he shared Uriah with me. To respect him, whatever it is that you have, your approach is going to be different with it. It can't be double-minded. It can't be with the flesh that you inherited from your forefathers. It's got to be from your adoptive father that you've been given access to Yeshua. And it was foretold way back in Genesis 48 for us. That's his loving kindness towards us. Let him ask of Elohim, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. And the Greek word is Strong's 3679. Is a Greek verb meaning to reproach, to revile, insult, to upbraid, or cast into one's teeth. It signifies verbal abuse intended to disgrace, to dishonor, or cause shame, often used for public taunting or accusing someone of being guilty. The term is used for both deserved and undeserved mockery. That's a very important word to remember. And in verse 6, but he should ask in belief, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, for that man should not think that he shall receive whatever from the master. You're not getting it. I'm sorry, but that's not the way I respond. That's not the way I proceed with things. You're not getting it. He's a double mind. It says, for that man should not think that he shall receive whatever from the master. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The Greek word here for double-minded is dipsukos. Dipsukos is a coined Greek adjective meaning double-minded. twofold of facilitating found in the New Testament, James 1:8 and James 4:8. It describes a person torn between faith and doubt. I think about when Israel was married, all one. I'm talking about Judah, Yehuda, and I'm talking about the 10 tribes, and Benjamin was all one. They was all married under one covenant. And because of one little incident in there was outside of God's character, they got split, torn in two. So when you think about it, they were torn in two. It all went downhill because they needed to be together. And in the end, and it's happening now, Yah's bringing Ephraim and Yehuda back together. Little by little, he's bringing them back together. In the end, he's going to put us back together where we belong. We're going to be married under one. Under one, we're going to be married and united again. It describes a person torn between faith and doubt, or loyalty to God and the world. You can't serve both God and mammon. You can't have both. You're going to have to hold on to the one and love that one, or hold on to the other one and hate that one. You're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. You can't do it at the same time. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Loyalty to God and the world resulting in instability and inner conflict. It's an inner conflict. It implies a split person with hesitation. You see, at some point being adopted, we cannot continue to be torn in two. At some point, it will settle you on his side or tear you in pieces. You know, in our ministry retreat, we was asked some questions. And we was told to respond individually when we got home. And in one of those answers, I responded back and I gave it to Pastor. And I said, there's sometimes during the week, I feel torn in two pieces. I go through some times where I feel I'm torn in two pieces. I got days I'm 80%. Sometimes I feel 100, but I know by yeah, I'm not 100. But there's some days I feel like I'm in two pieces, like torn in pieces. You just go through those days and those times. But I'm getting this now to keep spending that time. Keep training yourself to spend that time. And it stays together. And it's not double-minded and it's not torn in two pieces. Just like Israel, they got torn in two pieces, and they're still torn in two pieces today. Ephraim is scattered all over the earth, and Yehuda is added to, and they go through the wars, and it's all unstable. Jehovah is not divided. Yeshua is not divided. The Ruach isn't divided. They're all in harmony and united in one. They're all in harmony. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22-32. Then they brought to him one who was demon-possessed, blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the blind and dumb man both spoke and saw. And all the crowds were amazed and said, is this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this one does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And Yeshua knew their thoughts and said to them, every reign divided against itself is laid waste, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then does his reign stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, do cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Because of this, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the spirit of Elohim, then the reign of Elohim has come upon you. Or how is one able to enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he shall plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. We're going to do gather. What are we doing on Shabbat? We gather. We assemble together. We get his attention. He gets our attention. We come together. There's an order. Comes together. Friday afternoon. This is Shabbat. We come to order and assemble as one unit, not divided. Not one over there, not one over here, or he's with me in spirit and truth over here. No, he said assemble. And he's just trying to help us. Remember, it's him loving us. It's him loving us with this. Shabbat, he's loving us with this. Amen. He who is not with me and against he who does not gather me scatters abroad. Because of this I say to you, all sin and blasphemy shall be, because of this I say to you, all sin and blasphemy shall be given men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven men. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Adam, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the set apart Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Remember, let this mind that is in Messiah be the mind that is in us. As a father that we've been adopted into, let this mind. It's him loving us. So if we think about Solomon, he increased the horses and he increased the wives with his power. He was double-minded. He increased the horses and the wives. And from that point on to generations, curses with a divided mind, we get into 1 Kings 12 and 2 Chronicles chapter 10, Rehoboam rejected the elders' advice to ease the heavy labor imposed. It's all came from Solomon. And it all carried on down from one to the next to the next. He threatened to make their yoke heavier, promising to scourge them with scorpions. This resulted in the northern tribes rebelling and stoning his. He killed a man because of it all. He stoned somebody. It all went. When they got divided, it all went to pieces from there. And it all because of a double mind. You cannot be double-minded and be stable. So it became a split and a divided kingdom. Wedding vows, covenant between Israel and Yah broken, divided. So it was divided. So Proverbs chapter 15, again, I talked about this earlier, verse 33. The fear of Yehovah is the discipline of wisdom, and before esteem is Anavah, humility. We're going to look at the word fear, respect. You got to remember, our opinion is out when we come before him with any responsibilities or situations. Remember, when we come before him, it's not our opinion. I know things went bad and things ain't going good and whatever situation it is that got handed to you. But it's not our opinion about it. It's his opinion about it. In prayer and supplication, letter request, what do we do with this? You handed it to me. It wasn't no accident. I got this. This is how it happened. This is how it went down. He says, ask me. Pray to me. And you respect me in it. You don't complain about it. You don't doubt it. Remember, faith. Faith to faith to faith. You're going to grow in it. And I got some details that's going to happen on what you don't know nothing about. But you got to trust me. You got to give it into my hands. You got to surrender this to me. And so when we do that, it'll happen. Our opinion is out when we come before him with any responsibilities or situation. Respect in his authority and opinion based on his word, in spirit, and in truth. It's got to be in spirit and in truth. So this word fear is Yirah. Strong's H3374. Is to fear, is terror, awesome, terrifying thing, causing fear, it's respect, it's reverence, it's piety. And so when we respect him and anything that we're going through, this way will cause one to draw nearer. Remember, we're Goshen, we're supposed to be drawn near to him. It'll cause us to draw near to him rather than fleeing from him. You flee from him when you're in fear. You flee from him when you're not respecting him. You flee from him. Our opinions are flawed . So that's just where I got the word Yirah from. when you look at the respect. So looking at that word, anava, and he's loving me with this, and I got to respect him with this. And if I go out of order with it, with the double mind, or to my past, the way I acted, and whatever it is, in a negative, it's disrespecting him. And so that's how I've been learning through all those situations and every responsibility that I have. Now, this word, I was thinking about Yaakov. Now, let's go to Yaakov. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 48. From our text, where we are. So, verse 1. And after these events, it came to be that it was said to Yosef, see, your father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And we see the order here, Manasseh and Ephraim, and then we see later on how he explained to us that he switches it. Even before he even talked about it, he switched it. He's showing us that he was going to switch it right there anyhow. And Yaakov was told, see, your son Yosef is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And Yaakov said to Yosef, El Shaddai appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And I'm going to pause right there for a second. So he's old, he's nearing death, and he strengthened himself. And he reminds him of when Yah came to me in Luz. And I'll start thinking about all the times when he had the ladder, when he had that experience, when he had all these other experiences every time Yah came to him. And I was reading about this, and there was times in yeshiva, and I come to a Cracker Barrel, and he gives me a word. And I got a word. I'm like, he got a word then, I got a word now. And he brings it together for me when he gives me this word. As many times that you're going to be praying, you're going to ask him for help. And he's going to give you a word when you yeshiva, when you sit with him and asking him for help. And you're loving on him. And he's going to love on you and he's going to give you this word. This word was given to me. It might not drive with you like it's driven me. But go dig into it for yourself and go see and put it all together when you're reading the book of Hosea and what his love is really about and what we learn in chapter 48. And Yaakov was told, see, your son Yosef is coming to you, and Israel strengthened himself, and he sat up in the bed. And Yaakov said to Yosef, El Shaddai appeared to me in Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. And he said to me, see, I am making you fruitful, and shall increase you, and make of you an assembly of peoples, and give this land to your seed after you, as an everlasting possession. And now, your two sons, Ephraim, and now it's this order, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Mishraim, before I came to you in Mishraim, are mine, as Reuben and Shimon, they are mine. And you and I have been adopted in, even though we was mixed, just like Ephraim and Manasseh were mixed, he treats us just like he treated Reuben and Shimon, the same way. He treats us just as if we was born through him. Sons. Not just adopted, but as if we were born through the mother's womb of his sons. Your offspring, whom you shall bring forth after them, are yours, and let them be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. And so, we went from this adoption in Ephraim. And then, I fast-forwarded way, way, way ahead and looked into the renewed writings and see what we've been adopted in. Ephraim's been adopted in. Way, way, way ahead. But then you back up to Hosea, and you start going through those details, and if I got time, I wanted to try and touch bases on some things that were very important, on some names. Some names that are very important that Hosea was told to name his kids, his sons and daughters. These are very important names. Yisrael is a very important name. He's scattered Ephraim, but he's going to raise him back up. This is a very important name. So the prophet Hosea gives the message to Ephraim, lived out by marrying a prostitute, Gomer, okay? And he named his children names of a message to Ephraim, what you have become and the outcome because of it. So this is a message going to Ephraim when they were doing all the adulterous things that they were doing, relying on other things and not Almighty Yah, put him away instead of serving all the other things. And so he brings a message to Hosea and Gomer. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And Jehovah said to him, call his name Yisrael, for in a little while I shall revenge the bloodshed of Yisrael on the house of Jehu, and put an end to the reign of the house of Israel. A son named Yisrael with a message to Ephraim, the northern tribes. So this word is in Strong's H3157. And it means a seed is sown. So this is the first child, a son named, in the King James is Jezreel. But we know there's no J in the Hebrew, but it's Yisrael. Strong's H3157. God will disperse as a seed is when it's sown. The speedy dispersion of Israel by Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, who besieged and conquered Samaria. So at this time, you had the northern tribes over here, and you have prophets speaking to the northern tribes, and then you have the southern tribes over here, and you have prophets talking to the southern tribes. Over here, you have the northern tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel. You have Hosea speaking with his life that's being lived out with Gomer. And he's expressing through one son's name, this is what's going to happen to you because of what you've done towards me. And this is the word, he says, Jezreel. And this is what's going to happen to you. And this is what happened. You're relying on Egypt, you're relying on Assyria, and all of a sudden Assyria is going to turn around and is going to wipe you out. So he's declaring this before it even happens, giving him the warning, giving him a chance to respect him and turn back to him and repent. They have a chance to repent before Assyria comes and wipes them out and tries to erase their name, and they get scattered throughout all the Goyim. But it says, there was a city that was called Samaria with the northern tribes. And then with the southern tribes, you had Jerusalem. And as time went by, after the prophet had spoken everything that the father spoke, it happened that Assyria came with the king and wiped out the northern tribes. And then Babylon came. They came against Judah and took them captive. But there were some things that Judah had that still kept them going. They had kings like Hezekiah that still built it back up. And there was things that they held on to. But Ephraim had nothing. They just totally, like an adulteress, put him away and went and chased the ungodly things and did all those things and lost out. But he has this mercy and this grace in this name he talks about. He says, who besieged and conquered Samaria, the northern tribes, the capital. He said, Ephraim scattered, mixed, and dispersed Israel as the lost 10 tribes of Israel. But Father Yah will bring them all back together as they recognize who he truly is and who they truly are, even being adopted back in. And he talks about it way in Genesis 48 about us being adopted. And even though Ephraim goes through what he goes through and gets scattered abroad, still he's going to adopt many nations back as time goes on. But in the end, Israel means Yah scatters seed. He's not only going to wipe them out, but he's going to keep them alive and scatter the seeds. And Yehuda's capital was Jerusalem, which was conquered, and Yehuda taken captive by Babylon. So now we have the second child. The second child, a daughter, in Hosea 1:6. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And he said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. For no longer do I have compassion on the house of Israel, so as to forgive them at all. So Lo Ruhamah is H3819. No mercy, no pity. Strong's H7355 of this word, the Racham, means to love and to love deeply, to have mercy, to be compassionate, and to have tender affection, Racham, to have compassion. And Lo, when you hear Lo in the Hebrew all the time, Lo, it means no. It's easy to remember. Lo, Lo, no. So there'd be no love, no mercy, no compassion, no tender affection. In verse 7, but I shall have compassion on the house of Yehuda and save them by Jehovah the Elohim, and not save them by bow or by sword or by battle or by horses or horsemen. I'm not going to do it man's way. I'm not going to do it the way I told you not to do it. Solomon did it with increased horses. He tried to do it by his strength and power. Not going to do it by man's strength and power, but it's going to be by me. Hosea 1:8, and she weaned Lo Ruhamah and conceived and bore a son. Then he said, call his name Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I'm not for you. Third child is a son, Lo Ami. Lo Ami is Strong's H9571. M. A people, a nation. Remember what Lo is? No. No. Lo Ami. Lo Ami. Not a people. Not my people. But yet, even after all of this, in Hosea 1:10, yet, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which is not measured nor counted. That should get you really excited when you read that. It says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which is not measured or counted. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. They shall be called, you are the sons of the living El. That's driven by faith, by his word, and what he truthfully says. Abraham's promise. So we have Abraham's promise. I just wrote me some notes down. And we have Yaakov in chapter 48, Genesis 48, with Ephraim and Manasseh, the split of Israel. Ephraim was wiped out, names mixed and dispersed all over the nations as the lost tribes of Israel. And he says, you are not my sons, yet they shall be called, you are the sons of the living El. And Hosea chapter 1, verse 11, and the children of Yehuda and the children of Israel shall be what? Gathered together and appoint for themselves how many heads? One head, and shall come up where? Out of the earth, for great is the day of, what's that word? Israel. I'm going to scatter you, but still my love for you, I'm going to raise you back up, I'm going to bring you back together with one head. Yah's incredible. He's got so much mercy and loving kindness in everything that he does. Remember, Yisrael means to scatter and sow seed in the day of Yisrael. But they're going to sprout back up out of the earth under one head. And so when you think about this is his love for me, and whatever it is, you think about the wars, you think about the plagues, you think about everything that's going on the earth right now. And so many people in the world will say, why God would allow people to die? Why God would allow these plagues? But you got to see it from his point of view. It's his love towards us. He prolongs it because there's ones continually that's going to sprout out of the earth. They're going to come alive. They're going to wake up. There's many. Not all of the earth is going to be saved, but there's going to be this remnant. Israel will no more longer be Israel, scattered all over and sown across the earth. They're going to be gathered together underneath one Messiah. And a lot of this that happens is supposed to be for our attention. You know, the first thing that Yah does whenever we're going off course, He kind of shakes us up with something to get our attention. And that's what he's doing all over the earth, is to get people's attention. It's not to harm you or hurt you. I'm trying to get your attention. All these horses are riding to get your attention. And you're only going to see it if you come to me and understand my love towards you. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. I'll never get to the end of this. Got pages of Hosea. But I'll just get through some of them. Chapter 6, verse 4. Ephraim. This is expressing, I wanted to know his expression of love towards us, and he's expressing his love towards Ephraim right here. He says, in Hosea chapter 6, verse 4, Ephraim, what would I do with you? Yehuda, what would I do with you? For your loving commitment is like a morning cloud, like the early dew that goes away. And he arrested me on this one. He said, you know, you've gone for me for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden you go through these little spots where, you know, in the morning you see the dew in the grass, and then as soon as the sun comes up, what happens to it? It goes away. He expresses them, you like the dew. You like the dew. 1 minute you got me, and the next minute you go and do something else. You forget all about me. You got me for a little bit, and you go do something else. You're interested for a little while, and you go do something else. You got dew on you. Oh, you, woo-hoo! 1 minute, next minute you forgot about me. It's like the dew, it goes away. Therefore I have honed them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my right rulings break forth as the light. For I delight in chesed, loving commitment, and not slaughtering, and in the knowledge of Elohim, more than ascending offerings. He uses two words here, what he delights in. His love. His kind of love. He expresses his kind of love. Not slaughterings, but the knowledge of Elohim more than ascending offerings. The knowledge of his love. We've got to learn what his love is all about. We've got to understand his love and live it. His kind of love. Not man's kind of love. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they acted treacherously against me. In comparison, during this time and our time today, the systems are no different. If you look at all the systems today that was going on during Ephraim's time, it's the same thing today when you look around. It's the same thing. All the religions, all the things going on, all the same system. Everybody's living for power and control. Power and control. That's what Ephraim was doing. They were trying to live on their own power and control. Judah, they were all trying to live on their own power and control. It puts God out. It puts him completely out. And it wasn't designed that way. He says, put a shofar to your mouth, like an eagle against the house of Yehovah, because they have transgressed my covenant, and they have rebelled against my what? My Torah. They cry out to me, my Elohim. And then there's times when they're going through some trouble, they cry out to Elohim, but they don't talk to him any other time. They rely on everything else in the world. They cry out to me, my Elohim, we Israel know you. Israel has rejected what is good, an enemy pursues him. They have made sovereigns, but not for me. They have made rulers, but I have not known them. From their silver and gold, they made idols for themselves so that they are cut off. They trust in other things, and they trust in other ways, and they do away with Yah. I have written for him numerous matters of my Torah that were regarded as strange. As for my slaughterings, they slaughter flesh and they eat. Yehovah shall not accept them. Now does he remember their crookedness and punish their sins? Let them return to Mishraim. You want Egypt? Go to Egypt. You want Assyria? Go to Assyria. Now you're in trouble. And here I am, but you seek all those other things. For Israel has forgotten his maker and has built palaces, and Yehuda has increased walled cities. But I shall send fire upon his cities, and it shall devour his strongholds. None of them sought Yehovah for rulers and leaders. They murdered and they bribed for them for their own pleasure rather than for Yehovah. Their priests made up their own righteousness and not the righteousness of Elohim. All for the fleeting pleasures of sin. I know I'm out of time, but I got one more little thing that I just wanted to share that Brother Scott brought to my attention the other day, and it matched perfectly. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was going through this, and I was sharing with him some things, and he says, "Bro, I just got finished reading Romans chapter 10. You got to go read Romans chapter 10. So I just want to go over just Romans chapter 10 just a little bit, and I'll finish up right here while I'm thinking about it. Because remember, it's His kind of love. It's His righteousness. It's not our own. It's not what man's made up. It's not like His at all. Romans chapter 1, I'm charged. Romans chapter 10. Start with verse 1. "Truly, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is for deliverance. For I bear them witness that they have an order, a door for Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For not knowing the righteousness," not knowing His kind of love, "not knowing the righteousness of Elohim and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Elohim." You got to learn His righteousness. You got to learn His love, how He loves, not the way we love. "For Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moshe writes about the righteousness which is of the Torah. The man who does these shall live by them. But the righteousness of belief speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend to the heavens?" And it's in Devarim chapter 30. That is, to bring Messiah down. "Or who shall descend into the abyss?" That is, to bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart." That is the word of belief which we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth the Master Yeshua and believe in your heart that your Elohim has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, and is so saved. Because the Scripture says, whoever puts his trust in Him shall not be put to shame. Because there's no distinction between Yehudi and Greek, for the same Master of all is rich to all those calling upon Him. For everyone who calls upon the name of Yehovah shall be saved." I lost my place. Verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one proclaiming? And how shall they proclaim if they are not sent? As it has been written, how pleasant are the feet of those who bring the good news of peace, who bring the good news of the good. However, not all obeyed the good news. For Yeshayahu says, Yehovah who has believed our report. So then belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, indeed, their voice went out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not know? First, Moshe says, I shall provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I shall enrage you by an unwise nation. And Yeshayahu boldly says, I was found by those not seeking me. I was made manifest to those not asking for me. And to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and back-talking people. But the gist of this from the beginning, our righteousness is not His righteousness that we're thinking. We have to go back to the beginning, and we have to study the text, and we have to ask Him to help us all throughout the day and every week as we come together on Shabbat, and we keep learning these things. This is a lot of incredible works. There's so many different things, but you can't give 2 weeks of stuff in all in one setting. You got to go back and go over it for yourself. And it's just exciting. I know Brother Scott talks about it. He gets so excited to share everything that he's got, you know, but you can only share so much at a certain setting and a certain time. But remember, I'm loving you with this. And take it a little bit at a time. And respect him with it. Don't be in the wrong way towards him, double-minded. Okay?